Excellent. Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, Big Book Betty. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, November 19th, 2019. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 69, paragraph 1 in the chapter How It Works, and that opens with, we reviewed our own conduct, and it ends with, down on paper and looked at it. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Joanne B., the 12 traditions, Cindy K., readers of the text today, Shannon M., Kara L., and Don B., greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact info is Wendy B., and the announcements will be Leslie M. Thank you all for that service today. Appreciate that. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, November 18th, 2019, is 13,679. And then the 7 a.m. meeting that just happened a couple of hours ago would be 13,683, and that would be for Tuesday, November 19th, 2019. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. Our fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to God. We understood Him. Searching and fearless moral. Five, admitted to have God of all these aspects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Only for knowledge of His power to carry that out. So, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to give this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice in all. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thanks so much, Joanne B. I will now ask Cindy K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy Kay, recovered compulsive overeater in Kansas City. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number 6, an OA group should never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Cindy Kay. You too. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And take note, this is talking about the star 1 key function on your phone, not your private personal phone muting process. Thank you. Today, we resume our study of the big book in the chapter, How It Works. We're on page 69, and we're going to unpack paragraph number 1 today, and it starts with, we reviewed our own conduct and ends with, looked at it, basically. And I'd like to ask Shannon M. to begin by reading that paragraph and unpacking it for us with the directions that she has found. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Shannon M., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. And I love this part of the book. When I got into recovery this time around, I definitely neglected my relationship with my husband. The food was more important. And then the kids were more important. I have a 2- and a 4-year-old, and I just didn't have time for his needs at all. And so I aroused a lot of bitterness. And then when I got into recovery, I continued to be inconsiderate and selfish with my time. And I replaced food with recovery, and I only focused on that. And I don't regret that because I really needed that. At the time, I probably would have eaten again if I wasn't so consumed with program. But, you know, I've been able to now find a balance so that I am using this program at home. So I'm not just doing the program in the rooms. And a huge, huge piece of that is a special edition that I listened to. And there was a prayer in there for the sex conduct because my marriage was so bad and I was willing to do anything. We were definitely headed towards divorce. It was just, it was really, really bad. And in the last 7-8 months since I listened to this podcast, you can call me if you want me to tell you which one, my marriage is doing so amazing. And it's directly resulted of this inventory process and seeing where I was arousing that bitterness and how I was being selfish and inconsiderate and withholding and just not, I was not being a very good wife. Sure, I could be a great OA member, but I wasn't practicing these principles in all my affairs. And so there was this, I listened to this podcast over 20 times because I wanted to write down the prayers that this person said word by word. And I started saying these prayers every single day, sometimes twice a day. And that's what's completely changed my life. And so it says, God, help me to be of fear as I attempt to shine the spotlight of truth across my past sex relations. God, please show me where my behavior has harmed others, mainly my husband, and help me to see the truth these relationships hold for me. Help me to see where I have been at fault and what I should do differently today. God, please help me mold my sex ideals and help me live up to them. Help me be willing to grow towards my ideals and help me be willing to make amends where I have done harm. And there's two other prayers, and I said these every single day. And because of that, my relationship with my husband is amazing to the point that he wants to add another baby to our family because he's seen the recovery process and because he's become a priority. And I'm not continuing to be purposefully selfish and inconsiderate and dishonest. And when I am, I admit my wrongs. So I'm really grateful for that part. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Shannon. Appreciate that. Great kickoff this morning. So I'd like to invite others folks to comment on paragraph 1, page 69 this morning. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I'll take about six of you in the first lineup.
Margie. Lisa J.R.
I heard Margie or Margie?
Marcella M.
Oh, Marcella, that's who it was. Hi, Marcella. And I got Lisa B.
Elaine B.
Elaine B. And I heard Janice B.
Yes.
Lisa J.R.
Just 1 second. I want to make sure. Oh, Joanne, maybe it was Joanne B. And then Lisa J.R. Is that true? I think that's it, if I got them all correct. Okay. Marcella M., Lisa B., Elaine B., Janice, Joanne, and Lisa J.R. That's it? Okay, great. Hi, Marcella. You're up first, and then Lisa will come in after you.
Hi, Melanie. Hi, listeners. So good to feel connected after that convention. So this paragraph, the way that I work with my sponsor, I say, you know what, you're not going to find anything here. I've always been, like, so prudent, so faithful, so loyal. But then as I was writing my sex inventory, I realized that I was suspicious and afraid of all men, every single man of any age. And when we did the fourth column of the fourth step, I said, oh, it's not just fear. It's fear based on jealousy of their power and what I thought was like a continuous safety, physical safety. It was jealousy of physical safety that I thought all men had. And also power. I was born in Mexico, so I was jealous of everybody who was a man. And through recovery, keep doing my daily inventory, and especially in program, because I had, on top of this program, I also need AA, and in AA most everybody's a guy, is a man. I learned how to see all people as people and all addicts as addicts. The real test was for me has been when a man requests me as a sponsor. The very first time that it happened, I said, there is no way I am going to sponsor a man. It was not only sense of inadequacy, because that was also part of the gig, but But it was also like, no, I only want to work with women because men are more powerful and not as deserving as women are. I also had to recognize that I was mad at God because I thought that God had made a mistake giving this book to Alcoholics Anonymous. He should have given us this book to women, and especially to compulsive overeaters, so that they could come to us, so that we could sponsor them. And frankly, I was jealous. I was jealous of that. And it has not been but through the work of the program that God knows his economy and who he gave this book to first. And we are the ones who go to AA because nobody in the whole entire planet has more experience in this book than people in AA. And I also was able to say, yes, let's give it a try to a man requested my sponsorship, and I have learned so much about my marriage, and because he's married, happily married, and I'm happily married, and suddenly we went from one funky attic to like a whole little garage in which there's room for two happy marriages and two addicts in recovery. I am so grateful to be part of a vision for you and of Una Visión Para Ti, which is a vision for you in Spanish. I'm so incredibly grateful and inspired to keep doing it one more day with you all. And with that, I'll back.
Thank you very much, Marcella M. Lisa B., you're next, and then Elaine will come in after you. Lisa B.? Well, let's see if we can get back in the interest of time. Elaine B., are you prepared to come up and take your three?
Thank you so much, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And I do hope Lisa J.R. is able to come back. I can't wait to hear what she has to say. Boy, still bathing in the afterglow of this conference and so grateful also for A Vision for You. And that we dig in here and we do the hard work, you know, page 69, our sex conduct. And boy, oh boy, did I come in with a script for the man who chose to be my husband and for all the men that led up to that. And never did I look at all the things that I did to try to get what I wanted. Until I looked at this inventory for the first time, until I was directed to these questions for the first time to begin to see why I wasn't getting what I wanted, why that script just let me down and left me devastated time and again, because I didn't know that underneath all those things I was trying to do to get what I wanted was just what I needed. Pain is a great motivator, and I'm glad it drove me to these steps and it kept me here, because I too can say that today the relationship that I have with my husband is better than anything I could have come up with myself, just like page 100 promises. I not only get what I want, not all the time, you know, there are still things that I want that maybe aren't in alignment with God's will, and that's why I have to keep doing the steps, keep looking at these things. How am I being inconsiderate? Who am I hurting? How am I arousing jealousy? How am I being suspicious or arousing suspicion or bitterness? And, you know, what should I do instead of how I am at fault? I need to continue refining and working on my behavior, the things I try to do to get what I want, realigning with God, and taking those actions one day at a time, you know. I'll never rise above being human, and I'll be still working on this till the end of my life, I'm sure. I love the prayer that was prayed. The first paragraph of page 82 in the big book says, God, please help me keep, this is a slightly modified, God, please help me keep my spouse and family's happiness uppermost in my mind as I try with your grace to make these relationships right. And page 83, paragraph 1, just directly across the page, says very similar to this, please show me how to find the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love in my heart and soul. Please show me how to demonstrate these principles to my family and all those about me. And these are part of my daily morning meditation and 11 step.
because I need God's help every day to rise above this humanity and to act in the patient, tolerant, loving kindness way that I would like to show up in this marriage. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. Elaine B. So Janice B., you're next, and then Joanne will come in after you.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Janice B., recovered compulsive overeater in Vermont. Grateful to be here and grateful to be opening my mouth. And so in this paragraph, I want to start out with the word intimacy, because that's what I'm really thinking about here. Intimacy is like into me see, into me see. And the truth is, I never let my partners, I was never intimate with my partners in that idea of into me see. It was all dishonest. You know, there's reactions, fight, flight, and camouflage, or freeze, and that camouflage and freeze is dishonesty. And I was such a needy person, so filled with fear and thinking of myself, that I was whoever I thought the other person wanted me to be. And so I was, all my boundaries went down, and at the, you know, at the beginning of the relationships that I've been in, I just gave myself away. I gave myself away, but I wasn't true to myself. I didn't say the hard things out of fear that my partner would not like me and would leave me. And that made me, you know, whenever I thought that kind of thought, I would start to shake. And so the other sentence here is, what should I have done instead? So that question there for me was the setup for when I was answering all of the, where had I been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate, who had I hurt? What should I have done instead was the basis for my shaping my sane and sound ideal. And I found that to be a very helpful way to do this sex inventory. What should I have done instead? Because now I know more. Now I know more and I can do better. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Janice B. Appreciate that. Okay, let's see. Joanne B., you're next, and then Lisa J.R. will come in after you.
Hi, this is Joanne B. from Texas. We covered one day at a time, and so grateful for this program. If I'm on the right paragraph, it was really kind of funny when I heard it read. I heard something totally different, and then I realized that I'm maybe off a little bit, but I love this whole step. I love it had given me so much freedom to look at how I had been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate. And in this particular part of the fourth step, on looking at the sex inventory, it meant a lot to me. The first time I had heard that it was also in any relationship that I had with someone of the opposite sex. And even today, just listening to the few shares that have already occurred, I'm realizing even more clearly that how I treat my husband is how I speak with him, or how I think about him, or when I become irritated and step out of into my own self, my selfishness, I may not even say anything, but my thinking will be selfish. And why did he do such and such or not do such and such? And the idea of rolling my eyes in my head, even though it's just in my inner eye. But that all of this is part of my sex inventory. And I don't know, I just needed to speak today. I'm probably not making much sense, but I appreciate people sharing yesterday and today on this topic, and I learn more and more every time I hear the Big Book read, no matter where we are, and it's such a blessing to me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Lisa J.R., you're going to be next to share for 3 minutes, but just a moment, if you'd give me, I want to remind folks where we're at. We're in the chapter How It Works in the Big Book on page 69, and we're taking apart paragraph 1 today to see what the directions are for us to follow. It begins as we reviewed our own conduct in that particular single paragraph there, and then after Lisa J.R., I'll take a few more. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here, gratefully recovered from Baltimore, Maryland. This is a great paragraph because I'm so grateful that I did a thorough job on this. When I came into the 12-step recovery rooms, the Big Book recovery rooms, and did it the Big Book way, took my inventory, I arrogantly came in thinking, gee, I've got step 1, 2, and 3 in the bag because I have a very strong faith walk, so don't need that. Let's get to step 4. And then when I got to step 4, I am so grateful that I did my resentments before I did the sex inventory, because I thought now that I'm a married woman late in life, I'm okay. I'm covered by, my commitment to my husband. I don't have to really get into this. Wow, was I way off base, because the truth of the matter is, when I did my resentment, I really realized how selfish I was. I you guys brought that to life, and it wasn't a hammer that I beat myself with, but it was a way of taking stock in what I needed to get rid of, what unsaleable goods. My sex inventory pre-obesity looked very different than it did during the years that I struggled with my weight and was a married woman. I, left a swath of people that I was just dishonest and hurtful, inconsiderate, selfish with. And that inventory, I had to go through making amends with a very wise person in program, because I set off doing it myself, and I made a debacle of the first one and said, whoa, I need wisdom here. I need to know how to proceed. Then getting married, late in life, and having married a man with my same faith walk, here we are, and resentments still pop up. Oh my gosh, I have a resentment about him approaching me in this way, and I was envious about people who had no prior sex life, because I had a bar raised for my husband, and sometimes I didn't like the way, frankly, that he approached me or did it. Why couldn't he be like this other guy in this area? So I had a lot of work to do here, and I was in denial about it when I first approached the work, and I'm so grateful I had a guide that took me through this and helped me form an ideal. And and I use that ideal for everything in my life now, but that's for future days. So thanks thank you for letting me share, and thank you, Melanie, and everyone for all the work you did at the convention.
Oh, let me echo, right? Let me echo. Thank you so much, Lisa J.R., the contribution that you made for our event. It was palpable. I'd like to open the lines now for additional folks to comment on paragraph 1, page 69. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I can take about 4 or 5. Michelle.
Kelly F.
I got
Julie
Michelle. And then
Kelly.
I have Kelly. I got you, Kelly.
Terry F.
And I have Julie E.B. What was the last person I heard that was the F?
Terry F.
Terry S. like Sam?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. And I could take
Deborah
one more and see. Deborah G. Let's go with that one today. There might be room for another one or two, so just keep close. Don't hang up. And so I have Michelle, and I have Kelly S., Julie E.B., Terry S., and Deborah G. Michelle, you're first.
Michelle J. here from Arkansas.
Great.
Hi. Gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. So where was I at fault sexually? Well, the first thing I had to reconcile was with the why, because I couldn't understand how to reconcile my reality with my world sexually, all the aspects around me that were terribly broken and are broken. And I couldn't reconcile my pain and my suffering, my struggles with sex to an all-knowing, perfect, all-powerful, loving God. 1 + 1 did not equal 2. So someone said earlier, you know, pain is a great teacher. In this program, working the steps, I have reconciled that I accept that the world is broken and it's filled with broken people and I am a broken person in it. I can separate a perfect God from my brokenness. So now, when I review my conduct, if it be sexually or whatever, my imperfections, my brokenness, pain that I suffered or that I had caused, I can now call upon this perfect, loving God to help me be more like Him. I can stop looking at my past and judging others and trying to figure it out and trying to blame others. I can be more like Him. I can be humble. I can be forgiving. I can be loving because He is filling me with this stuff that I did not have before, but now I have. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, thanks so much, Michelle J. Kelly S., you're next, and then Julie E.B.
Good morning, family. It's Kelly S. from Oklahoma. Thanks, Mel, for your service. I just want to say something first is, you know, I tend to listen to both these meetings and on my days off, and I love them both, but there's just something about this meeting that I just really appreciate you guys. It's just such an honest and intimate group. I don't know, and I always get so much, and I just always want to say that. Anyway, so it's making me feel emotional. I just am grateful today. So we reviewed our conduct over the years, and, you know, what I'm loving and hearing on this meeting today is about our relationships today. You know, my sex inventory originally was very painful because I shared yesterday in the earlier meeting that, you know, I had quite a past of infidelity and promiscuity before recovery. And I feel so blessed today that just like food, I've got neutrality in that issue, which I never thought I would. And I've cleaned that all up. And as was shared earlier, you know, how am I living this in my life today? And, you know, I'm married now. I was married originally 17 years in my past life. And I've been married 17 years. 20 really, what the hell, I've lost track of time. But anyway, 20 years and doing this recovery thing and looking at this stuff and, you know, where am I being selfish, dishonest and inconsiderate and wanting people to still, you know, wanting my spouse to still live up to my expectations and can't you see I'm in recovery and, you know, still having these issues. And I know today, you know, it's kind of like when I go to this stuff, I'm like, well, I'm in a monogamous relationship. I don't have all these sex conducts now. I've cleaned that part up. But, you know, it's talking about now we also can go to our relationships. And, you know, it's not just about sex, but even all of it. And that's the hard part. You know, it's like someone said, you know, I'm living this in the meetings. I sound great on the phone. You know, I can look good at work. But what am I doing once I walk in that front door and in my relationship? Because now it's like, you know, my kids are all grown and gone, so it's just me and her. We're here together. And, you know, I want that peace, and I want to get out of my selfishness. And, you know, I know this may not sound related to this, but it's that selfish, dishonest, and considerate thing. So I'm going to share this real quick as we wrap up. So, you know, I'm at the convention this weekend, and it was my actual birthday. And my spouse, she sends me a bouquet of flowers to my room. This is not her. She's not romantic, right? So then on my actual birthday, she sends me this huge fruit bouquet. Well, what the hell? We've been married 20 years, you guys. I weigh and measure my food. Does she seriously think I'm going to eat this? I mean, really? That thing cost a lot. I would have rather had balloons. Really? Really? I mean, I even called her and was like, thank you. I was just kind of like, And she's like, well, I go, well, you know, thanks, but, you know, I've already kind of got my fruit. She's like, well, I thought you could take it down to people. I'm like, no, just take a bunch of fruit down to all the OA people. I mean, I didn't say that to her, but that's how I was feeling and had to look at that. Thank God I was in the convention and was able to share that and see my selfishness and stuff. And I want this relationship to be good. I want these principles in all areas of my life. I want to be a recovered woman today. And I got a long way to go. So thanks for all the share today, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Kelly S. Julie E.B., your 3 minutes are now, and then Terry S. will come in after you.
Hey, this is Julie E.B. Yeah, gratefully recovered and grateful to have this program to work as I reenter regular life from being surrounded with recovery and people that have both suffered and have stories of recovery and struggle like mine. You know, I really love this paragraph. I really love this opportunity, these paragraphs. When I did this inventory, I was invited to do it, sex conduct as a harm inventory with and without sex. So attending to all my relationships and aspects of my relationships and people that I had harmed. And for me, what this is all about is these questions. What did I do and what do I need to do differently next time? And what should my ideal be? What was my part? Where did I arouse bitterness, jealousy? You know, so for me, this is the beginning for me of freedom from shame. Shame is I am a bad person, and I've said it many times. I am a mistake, not I make mistakes. Shame is I am a flaw, not I have flaws. And here, and research shows that addiction goes along with shame. It doesn't go along with guilt. Guilt says, so I work harm inventories in my 10th step all the time. And I don't know if other people don't do them because they don't harm people. But for me, this brings it down to a very simple question, whether it's my kids or whether it's my husband in terms of economic or emotional or sexual, or whether it has to do with how I'm using my money. The question is, what did I do, and what would I do differently next time? And then I have this beautiful prayer we're going to say, asking God to mold my ideals and show me what's right in each questionable situation. And I can go through and look, where was I selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, self-seeking, and afraid? I can ask myself. I find this very helpful because it's so simple. Instead of, oh no, the world is falling down, Julie was imperfect and is a bad person, it's like, what did I do? I got impatient or raised my voice. What would I do differently next time? Pause, connect with my higher power, recognize that urgency is not the answer. Be willing to walk away or keep my mouth shut or look at my ideals of being more trustworthy and reliable. You know, today I have this tool to move out of shame of just, oh, blah, I'm horrible in the world, and towards guilt. I do wrong things. I notice what I did and what I do differently next time. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Terry S., you're up next for 3, and then Deborah G. will follow you.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. And I got to vicariously enjoy the convention by some friends who attended. So that was awesome. What little bit they could send me over my phone. The sex inventory. I have to say, with all the years I've been in OA, I always just cruised over this because I've always been single. I've never had a relationship, don't have any kids, and I thought, well, you know, what does sex have to do with me? I've been celibate for decades. But I heard Harlan say something at our Central Oregon retreat this year, and he talked about people that were love avoidant. And that was like a lightning bolt hit me, and I realized that I have completely avoided this issue in my life because I am terrified of being intimate with people. The extra weight that I've carried on my body for so many years was repulsive to me, and the idea of being with someone is just beyond what I'm capable of. But through my vision sponsor, I was able to do a fourth step and look at this, and she helped me come up with, if I can just pray for my higher power to set my ideal, how and what am I looking for in a man to even start with a friendship? And that has been a really powerful healing for me. It's opening up some different doors, and I'm so grateful for the healing and the recovery that's happening. So that's all I have, and thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Terry S. Deborah G., you're next, and then after you, Deborah, I think we're going to have time for at least one, maybe two more people to share. We'll check that out. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, thank you, Melanie, for your service this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible. I hope I can stay on my batteries low, but I am just so grateful that I have a solution for fear right here, you know, and I have a format that my sponsor gave me to write, and it's nice because I can write. I like that, putting it on paper. I can see things more clearly when I put it on paper, because if I keep it in my head, it just gets worse. I can't solve it. I can't get through it. So when I put it on paper, I can see, why have I been afraid? I can write about that. Where was my reliance? How did relying on self work, self-reliance? When I'm in fear, I'm in self-reliance. And I can ask God to remove that fear or whatever fears I have doing that seven-step prayer. And then ask God what you would do and be, what I would do and be in that case. And then just take a moment in silence and go within and ask, you know, how he'd have me be. You know, because when I'm in self-reliance, it doesn't work. But when I'm God-centered and God-reliance, I have a beautiful experience with everyone around me. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. So let's open it up for a couple more people to comment on paragraph 1, page 69. Give me your first
Lorraine
name. Lorraine
G.
Your last name.
Jen A.
Did I hear Reggie O? Yeah, I got you, Reggie, and I'm so sorry because several came in at once. I'm going to have to just kind of pull in the hat and drop one out, and it's Lorraine N. So my apologies for that maybe seeming unfair or undiplomatic. So Reggie O, you're first, and then Lorraine will come in after you.
Thank you. Thanks. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service all the time and this morning, and very grateful to be here today. Boy, what a powerful past 2 days this has been for me in the sex inventory. And it helps me to realize how much I yet have to do in this arena. I was in relationship, long-term relationship for most of my adult life, but not in the past few years. And it's a good thing because I wasn't ready. And, you know, the next time if that happens, that I get into an intimate long-term relationship, I want to be more ready. But the degree that fear and control has run my life in this way. I had this experience a long time ago with someone that was like a family member, and I knew that, you know, I could have been easily molested if I didn't watch out. And I learned how to, and so I shut down my aliveness, and I came away with this I didn't want to do anything in his presence that would turn him on or make him, you know, come after me. And so I started learning how to control him. And but that part about there was, it was what was the happened was that I thought if he came on to me, then it would have been my fault. And if it was my fault, I would have to say yes. Now, boy, did that set up a pattern in the way that I was in intimate relationships. And I use the word intimately with a lot of emphasis because I have been, I think, you know, deeply afraid of intimacy in my life. But I would, and the other part of it was I had a very challenging time speaking up for what was true for me. What did I want? Am I ready for this relationship? No, but if someone wants to be in a relationship with me or comes on, then I must have to say yes because I'm responsible. Somehow I've led them in that direction, and I've actually gotten in relationships in that way. And then, you know, I've learned to control with sex, but not ever being able to receive and fully have a mutually, you know, often sexual experience or relationship. And, you know, and it's a good reminder. So I'm going, this is my, one of my jobs now, is I'm going back and redoing, you know, this sex inventory in a whole different way. And just getting that piece about, you know, being able to speak my truth, to communicate what's true for me, you know, is huge, because I would have said no a lot of times. I would have talked, I would have had more communication a lot of times. I wouldn't have ended relationships because I didn't know how to, communicate and work within them. Right. And I wouldn't have hurt a lot of people that I hurt. So very grateful for all of you who have shared so honestly on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggio. Lorraine N., you'll take us out to end this part of the session this morning. Good morning. You're 3 minutes
okay,
in now.
Good morning. And first, I just want to say that I'm still so high from the beautiful, incredible, powerful weekend at the convention. Oh, my God, the love that I experienced. And it was just so powerful for me. And I'm glad I got to give you a hug, Melanie. Okay, so This is not the part of the book I would like to jump in on, but since it's anyway, here I am. And regarding sex, I mean, I have left a trail of chaotic relationships with men in my wake. And although I've done some work in this sex area in my other program, I have way more work to do. And I'm starting the steps over with my new vision sponsor, who I got to meet up with at the convention. And I'm so looking forward to actually going over this area of my life again thoroughly and honestly, because I believe how I've treated the men in my life, cheated, lied, stolen, manipulated them. I think by healing in this area, it will help me to treat everyone in my life better and kind and compassionately going forward, not just the men in my life. And you know, I took myself out of the whole dating arena about 5 or 6 years ago because my life was such a mess. And I just knew I knew I couldn't go on that way. And what else do I want to share on that? I'm just so grateful for this program because it is changing my life in ways that I never dreamed possible. It's just so awesome. And I wanted to just come home and scream the message all over the place and deliver big books to everyone's doorstep. But, you know, thank you, God. And thank you for letting me share on the line this morning. And I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lorraine. That's Lorraine Ann from Bend, Oregon. Thank you. Okay, so that does wrap up the sharing part of this particular meeting and the recording session. So we're going to nicely package it in by having Kara L. please read from page 164 of the big book. And then after that, we'll join in saying the Serenity Prayer, moving then quickly over to greeting newcomers, getting sponsor contact information, and getting announcements from Leslie. So, Kara L., would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.